The big question is this: as entrepreneurs, coaches, and business owners, how do we consistently sell our products, programs, and services without making our customers feel like we're only in it for the almighty dollar? How do we serve the way we know we're meant to serve and still run a profitable business? How do we put good into the world while we put dollars into our pockets? How do we change the lives of our community while also bettering the life we lead?
It's not a zero-sum game. It's not an either-or scenario. It is possible to thrive while serving your clients to the best of your ability. This podcast will show you how. I'm Jenny Wright.
I'm Allison Lex.
And welcome to The System to Thrive.
On this episode, we'll be talking about what is list segmentation and why should I do it? So Dominique is a love and relationship coach. She serves mostly women who are struggling in their current relationships or women who have been divorced and are looking for a new big love in their lives. But over the past year in her business, Dominique has run several webinars, some aimed at women who struggle to have their spouses understand them, like we all do, and to find that spark in their relationships again. And some of those webinars are actually geared toward women who are divorced and looking for love again or another relationship. And really what that is that's two different types of clients: women in relationships who need to rekindle that spark and divorced women looking for love. But if she was to email her list of divorced women looking for love about mending their relationship with their significant others, they would be confused. They would wonder if she's got the right person, where they signed up for this. And they would unsubscribe because they would feel like Dominique doesn't know me very well.
Mm-hmm.
Does that sound familiar? Like maybe something that that's happened to you? You sign up for one thing and then all of a sudden you start getting messages about another thing that feel like they have nothing whatsoever to do with you. That's list segmentation problem.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. What is list segmentation? So what a great story to start off today's episode, simply to sort of illuminate why we need to segment our lists. And if you've never segmented your list before, don't worry, we have got you. In today's episode, we are breaking it down into its best components and sharing the tips and tricks that are actually going to serve you very well in your list segmentation. So let's start off with what list segmentation is. If you haven't figured it out from our story about Dominique, you're going to realize it very, very soon. So list segmentation is putting the right content in front of the right people in your email marketing system at the right time. It's personalizing your list experience with you, which is going to lead to better connection, increased trust, and honestly, higher sales.
Better sales.
Yep, absolutely, which is our goal. Emails that go to your entire list might help some people, but it's going to leave others very, very confused. Cue head tilt. Huh? Right? Have you ever gotten that email? Just like Allison was saying, have you ever gotten that email and you're like, what? This makes no sense. No, I am not looking to get a timeshare in Florida. What is going on?
You wonder if your information's been sold or if they've been hacked, or like I mentioned, you forget that you even signed up for them in the first place. And that's how you get those pesky spam complaints.
Mm-hmm. And what happens when you get spam complaints? The more spam complaints you get, you can actually get banned from your email marketing provider, like AWeber and ActiveCampaign. They'll actually shut you down.
So shut you down fast.
Exactly.
And so a lot of times what happens is we just can't be bothered. Right? I'm going to play devil's advocate here for a second. We can't be bothered. Why not just send it to my whole list? That way, if there is someone who might be interested in that timeshare in Florida, even though they signed up for a divorced woman's workshop, hey, at least it's another sale. Mm. So why shouldn't I send every email to everyone?
It's like it's like throwing darts. Like it's like throwing 10 darts at a time and hoping one sticks. That makes no sense.
Wait, that's not how you play darts?
No, that's not how I play darts. Then again, I'm one of those people that could probably, I'm one of the people that hits the person that's standing away from the dartboard, but we won't go.
Yeah, there. I just don't play darts. It's a bad idea for me.
But you get the gist, right? You've heard, like everybody thinks if you cast a wide net that it's better, and it's not. You want to be so direct and speak to the right people. You even want to take Dominique's story and take it a level deeper even to be like women that are divorced, that are looking for a new love, that are over 40, that are single moms, right? Like you could even nail it down even tighter. This is about niching in, quite honestly. This is a conversation about taking your niche a bit deeper and tighter and speaking only to the people who need the exact thing that you're talking about. And when you do that, you get better results. It seems counterintuitive in the beginning of your business, but as you develop your business, you're going to see this is the way to go.
Well, and two, there are people who have evolved their business over the years where they may start as a generic relationship coach, but then they niche into helping divorced women, and then they go further into helping women over 40, and then they et cetera, et cetera. Mm. And so, you know, that is really segmenting your list between what my business is now and what my business is then. But there are other people who have two different offers, if you will. Mm-hmm. Me, for example, I'm a copywriter. I have clients. So those would be my done for you clients. But then I also have products and I'm developing some courses. And so those would be my DIY clients. And so my done for yous are not likely to buy my DIYs. And most of my DIYs are not likely to buy my done for yous. So by segmenting, I can make offers to the right person with the right message at the right time. But I know there are other reasons to segment. One of them would be to remove every possible barrier to get people to take action. If you followed me for any kind of time, or if you're going to continue, you're going to hear me say a lot, we want to remove the obstacle to the purchase. We want to remove those barriers. We want to get rid of those stumbling blocks. And by segmenting your list, avoiding that head tilt, that sound. That was my Scooby-Doo impression. It was terrible. Right. But by removing that barrier, you're going to get more of your people to take the action that you want them to take, whether that's registering, buying, clicking, joining, sharing, forwarding, replying, reading, watching more, whatever that action is that you want them to take from that email. The more targeted your emails are to their situation, the message they need to hear at the time they need to hear it, they're going to do that more often.
Oh, heck yes. Abso-frickin-lutely. And also, it seems more personal when you do this, and you're going to help connect to people more deeply, which is what you want. Relationship building, you know, growing your email list isn't about vanity numbers, and we're going to talk about that a little bit later. But mostly, when you're trying to grow your list, you're trying to create relationships with people, and that should be your goal. The more people know, like, and trust you, as they say, the easier it is for them to go, wow, Allison really knows what she's talking about. I trust her as a copywriter, and I know that if she puts something out that she's got my best interests at heart, and I should look and see and go deeper with her and see if that's something that I actually want. Right. So it really, really helps people connect with you. It also helps you send really targeted emails to people on your list. Like you can say, oh, wow, you know what? The people who joined my webinar back on January 4th, those people were really distinctly like interested in X. And I can target them and say, hey, you know what? I know it's been a while since we talked, or, you know, I hope you enjoyed that webinar that you were a part of back in the day. I have a new training that I think is really geared towards you. And if you're interested, come check it out. Right. So it really creates a lot of targeting. The more targeted you can get, the better it is. And as you grow your business, honestly, the layers of targeting increase and increase, and it helps you get super scoped in, which really, really helps.
And I love that example, because what you said is not that we're not going to offer this new training to the other people on our list. It's just we're going to do it using different messaging.
Correct.
People who attended that January 4th webinar, they're going to get one message. And then people who attended the March 25th webinar might get a different message that's super personalized. Mm-hmm. Maybe the webinar on the 4th was about looking for love at the bar. And the webinar on March 25th is about looking for love online. And so we're just going to tweak those promotional messages to those particular topics because we know they're interested in it. They registered for it. And they get something that's hyper-personalized. They feel seen.
Oh yeah. We feel seen and heard. They feel like you care, like you get them. And what do people do when they feel seen and heard and they feel like you get them? They continue to tune in.
Mm-hmm. And if we can keep them, they engage.
Exactly.
And when you engage your people, it allows you to separate the engaged from the disengaged. That allows you to either send reactivation campaigns to get those people re-engaged with you, or, and I think we'll talk about maybe a re-engagement campaign in a couple minutes, but you can also remove those inactives from your database.
Oh God, yeah. And I'm going to talk about the technicalities of that in just a sec. It's going to be awesome.
But then you're not paying to send emails to people who don't care. And you're not paying these premiums for vanity numbers. I have so many clients that are like, oh yeah, I have tens or hundreds of thousands of people on my list, but only a small percentage of those people are actually engaged or real or around or reading or clicking or anything. And so they're paying a really big premium for what essentially are vanity numbers.
Oh yeah.
So that you can walk around and say, I have this many on my list. Okay, great.
It's awesome. Makes no sense.
Yeah. I mean, what's the point of having 65,000 people on your list if 17 people total register for a webinar?
Correct.
That you host.
And we've seen that. We've seen those numbers in the back end, and we've seen that and gone, oof, we've got, right? You know, lack of engagement happening here. And a list cleanup is a thing. Mm-hmm. And segmentation will actually help you do that. I have gone through
segmentation. Yep.
Oh, yeah. And you can do this. So let's talk about the technicals for a couple of minutes. And if you're not tech savvy, that's okay. Okay. Understand that I'm just going to cover this point briefly. I'm not going to spend the rest of the episode talking about the technicals, which trust me, I could, but we're not going to do it. That's for a completely different training. Honestly, it would be better for a webinar versus talking about it on a podcast. Mm-hmm. However, how you do this technically is first you start with an email marketing provider that makes segmentation easy. Now, some make it easy, some make it really freaking challenging, okay? And there's some that are better than others. Now, depending on your budget, I always say that you get what you pay for. So, you know, if you're going to use MailChimp, great. It does have list segmentation, it has tagging and all those things. And people, you know, I might get some hate mail over this one, but I'm not a fan of MailChimp because it doesn't allow me to do I'm a visual builder in mm-hmm. email marketing, and it doesn't allow me to visually build with maps and things like that, that really help me sort of see where everything's going. Right. Mm-hmm. So if you're a MailChimp fan, have at it, love you. Just not my thing. Right. AWeber, which I was with for 6 years. AWeber,
I'm so glad I got you away from that.
Oh, thank gosh. So AWeber just brought list segmentation and tagging, like tagging more or less, on in the past like couple of years, but it's not gorgeous. It's not really easy to use. AWeber is all about building out separate lists. Here's the problem with that. When you have separate lists, and you know, Allison's registered for every single webinar that I've ever done as an example, then when I promote something, she's in every single list. And when I hit send on an email that goes to everybody, she gets it 7 times or 15 times, right? Because mm-hmm. there's duplication in the lists. Unless you know how to go into AWeber and go in there and create parsing in your email list.
It sounds like a big, giant, difficult.
Oh, it's just, it's creating rules. Like if person is in list A, then unsubscribe from list B. If person is in list B, unsubscribe. Mm. It's honestly to remember all the rules, and you have to do it in every single list. It's a pain in your tuchus, right? So don't recommend it. If you want simplicity, if you want, you know, a real way to know your exact number of people on your list and the simplicity of creating segmentation, then Allison and I both recommend that you use a product called ActiveCampaign. Now, depending on where you are in your business, ActiveCampaign may or may not be the thing for you. There's lots of email marketing providers out there. There's ConvertKit. It does segmentation as well. There's, you know, there's Infusionsoft/Keep, but that's, you know, that does segmentation too, but it comes with its own host of fun mm-hmm. stuff.
Entreport, Meripost, more enterprise solutions. There are, you have to pick the one that's right for you. We love ActiveCampaign.
Yeah. And that's just what it is. And so, you know, and this is just what we've used through trial and error. Allison's been in business for 12 years. I've been in business for 8 years 13. at the time, 13 at the time of this recording. I've been in it for 8 years at the time of this recording. You know, I've gone through several. I've actually, quite honestly, when I was a VA, I worked in almost every single one of them for my clients. Mm-hmm. Profusely. And so I really got a handle on what worked and what didn't. And ActiveCampaign ended up being the right one. So that being said, here's how you do this technically. Okay. So one, you need an email marketing service that works and helps. We do recommend ActiveCampaign. It has a great user interface. It makes things really, really simple. To segment your list, you're going to create, instead of having 30 lists, you want to use tagging and automation. What's a tag? A tag is simply saying, you know, Allison registered for the March 25th webinar on relationships. So you'd create a tag, March 25th Webby, let's just say. Right. Okay. So anybody who registers for the March 25th webinar or the May 1st or the whatever date, okay, gets the tag, date, whatever, webinar training. Okay. And if I want to, then I start to build this gorgeous looking database. As my list grows and as people opt in for more things, I get to see who's opted in for what. Now, tagging, you can use tagging for everything. You can use tagging if people open an email and click a link. Clicked link and email from July 1st. Mm-hmm. You can go really, really deep and have a lot of fun. Now, automation. Automations are just what they are. They're automated processes for your email marketing system. So somebody registers for a webinar. They get an automated email saying, hey, thanks. So glad you're here. Welcome to the webinar. Starts on such date at such date, and here's the time, and here's your link to Zoom, right, to join the webinar. And you can use automations to do those kinds of welcome series. Additionally, you can use automations to segment your list even more deeply. So if you have a automation that says, if person tagged with webinar March 25th tag opens nothing for 3 months, now they get tagged with a new tag, inactive, mm-hmm. and they go into a new, that's where we get to talk about creating a brand new thing, which is our,
re-engagement.
Re-engagement campaigns, mm-hmm. right? So you could tag them and now they're segmented into this new area where it's like, hey, you know what? They haven't opened an email in 3 months. I'm not sure if they still want to stick with me, but before I delete them, I'm going to give it one last go. And this is where an engagement campaign comes in. This is where Allison totally flourishes and talks about mm-hmm. this. but basically the whole gist is now you can try and re-engage them. And after, and then you can add another tag. Like say that you, they go through the engagement campaign and they still don't open. Now they get another tag. Engagement campaign, zero open. Mm-hmm. Right? So now you know, not only are they inactive, but they did nothing from my re-engagement campaign. These people are like gone.
Way dead.
Way dead. Ugh. Now you can do another thing. Well, oh, okay, now they've got this tag. And now you go through your tag and go, oh, okay. You can regularly go through and say, oh, today I've got 15 people who are now tagged as, re-engagement campaign, no open. I can boot them off my list and save myself some money.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And the fun thing is there's a flip side to that too, right? If you have someone who opens every single email, clicks every single link, super interested in all the webinars that you have about meeting somebody in a bar, right? I'm still going with this Dominique example, right? They're like super interested. You could set up an automation using tags and segmentation to identify them as a hot lead.
Yes.
And maybe we send them a personal email or reach out to them through our Facebook group or get in touch with them personally and try to get them on a sales call.
Brilliant. Brilliant.
Now we know that they're consuming all of our content. We know exactly what they're interested in. We can reach out to them personally, build that relationship further with the help of our automation. Mm-hmm. Just because we're talking about building relationships and being super personal doesn't mean we don't want to use the tools that we have at our disposal to help us.
Correct. Absolutely. All right. So you might wonder how you can get started with segmentation. Right. So I know so much. Yeah. Right. So here's a couple things that you can do that are going to make segmentation easy, because what if you already have a list of 200 people or 2000 people or 20,000 people and you're like, Jenny, I've never segmented my list or I haven't segmented enough. These simple things are going to work. Okay. If you employ these techniques, you're going to create segmentation. So step number one is you could survey your list. You could send a very targeted survey, targeted meaning really direct questions that ask the things that you need to know that get people to respond in a way that tells you what they need, what they want. By the way, those can be two different things, and how they want to get it. Okay. The surveys that I usually send for my clients and also for my business and that Allison knows is usually, you know, where are you at right now? Okay. Mm-hmm. So, you know, choose A, B, C, D, or E. I'm ready for love. I'm not sure. I'm lacking confidence for finding love. I just got out of a relationship and I need to heal, right? So pick one of those. So where are you at? What do you need? How do you need it? What do you need? What do you want? And how do you want to get it? So some people learn through watching videos. Some people learn through being in interactive classes. Some people learn through coaching. Some people learn through passive learning, like in a a paid membership group and things like that. So if you ask that question, you can create wonderful segmentation and mm-hmm. say, ooh, the people who answered this question, they're my people who are, because I'm thinking of running a high-level mastermind. Ooh, these people have been identifying that they learn through masterminds. Those are my hot leads. And then mm-hmm. you can create a special campaign just for them. So surveys are awesome.
And the one thing I want to mention about surveys from a copy perspective, just because I can't help myself, you always want to give them at least one open-ended question. So an mm-hmm. open-ended question is where they provide their own answers. It's not a fill in the blank, a true or false, a multiple choice, anything like that. It's they fill in their answer in their words. You want to do that because it gives you the words that they like to use that you can then use to market to them. If you ask them, hey, how do you want to get this information? And they say, I like to be in a small group environment. Well, now you know in your copy, make sure to mention small group environment, and it's going to reflect their words back to them. So that's mm-hmm. my only thing about surveys.
I love that. I love it. And this is why it's so great that we're doing this podcast together, because my know-how and your know-how, it's like one of those Venn diagrams where there's like this gorgeous overlap, right? And we can live right in the middle. I love it. It makes me so happy. Okay. So the next thing that you want to look at doing, you know, you've done a survey, or you can just choose one of these things off this list, is, I like this. Now, this is bold. Okay. It's called the, do you want to stick around email? Now, mm-hmm. you don't phrase it as that, but basically the tenets of it are, hey, you know what? You've been, thanks for being on my, you know, thanks for being a contact for so long. It's been great to have you on my list and stuff. I noticed that you haven't really been opening things, or you don't have to phrase it like that. Allison's the copywriter. But the basic thing is, hey, I'm going to be doing this in the future, or maybe I've done a pivot lately and this is my new direction. Do you want to stick around? Do you want to be part of this? And if you don't, no hard feelings. And I wish you all the best of luck in the future. But if you do, then click here. Right. Mm-hmm. So in our email marketing services, the ones that, you know, allow this, we can do a one-click tag. So mm-hmm. if they click a link, the email marketing service can add a tag, which is fantastic. Yes, I want to stick around. No, I don't want to stick around. Okay. That makes it easy. Thank you so much. Right. So I love doing that email.
A variation of that too is if you're not fully pivoting, but splitting. I might send an email, because I used this as an example before. I might send an email that says, hey, just curious, are you more likely to hire a copywriter or learn to do copy yourself?
Ooh, perfect.
And so maybe I would do hire a copywriter as a link and learn to do copy yourself as a link. They would get tagged appropriately. And then I could actually drive them to a piece of content that says, hey, thanks for your feedback. Thought you might like this piece of content.
Perfect.
And for the done for you people, it would be how to hire a copywriter. And for the DIY people, it would be, here's the best resource roundup of where to learn copy that I've ever found.
You're so smart.
And so it's not necessarily a do you want to stick around email, but it is a split email utilizing that same one-click tag technology that allows you to just start filing people.
Yep.
Like, that's the whole goal. Start flagging them with the right color post-it. I know you like my little, if you're watching on the video, doing a little file dance.
God. Okay. So next thing is offering a freebie, which sort of plays into what Allison was just talking about with, you know, sending them to a piece of content, but it also can create something a little bit deeper. So maybe you have a checklist or a download or a recording of something that you've done or a training that you created, and you say, hey, you know what, if you're interested in X, head on over to click the link here and register for this brand new training. That starts segmentation really easy. Like if you've never done segmentation before and a survey feels daunting to you and the do you want to stick around email kind of freaks you out a little bit, go ahead and create a brand new freebie and get it in front of your list and have them segment themselves just based on whether or not they want it. It's a really great way to see like who wants what. So that's really like a simple thing.
Absolutely. And that's also a really big part of a re-engagement campaign. Mm-hmm. So a re-engagement campaign really starts with offering them something for free, reminding them to get their free thing, and then engaging with them once they've taken you up on it. If they don't take you up on it, you can try again with another little segment. Again, if I offered a DIY solution and they didn't take me up on it, then maybe I offer a discovery call, mm-hmm. something. But the re-engagement campaign that we set up automatically that we talked about earlier with all that tech speak that Jenny went into, that is really, like, that's the whole goal, is to get them opening and reading and clicking your emails again. Mm-hmm. And taking action on them.
Correct. And if you guys want more, if you folks are listening to this and you want more information on segmentation, I'm just going to tell you right now that we actually have a download on this. Surprise. We have a really incredible worksheet that's broken down into 3 parts. It's going to make it really like hella simple for you guys to figure out segmentation. So you're going to want to go and grab that. It's going to be in our notes section from today's episode. So head on over to systemtothrive.com/2, and it'll be right there in the notes for you to grab. It's a really good download. This is something that's going to make segmentation super simple for you mm-hmm. and help you out a lot. So I just wanted to mention that before we went on.
Yes. And that is number 2, systemtothrive.com/2, the numeral 2.
Yes. The numeral 2. Yes.
The numeral 2. Yeah. All right. So once we've got this segmentation thing all figured out and we're kind of rocking and rolling and we're implementing and the tech stuff is confusing, but we're doing it anyway. What should we look for? What kind of data should we be looking for? And what are some good measurements of what to really expect there to know that we're doing it the right way?
Oh, huge. The easiest
one.
Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, you are a little mistechnical. The first one that I can think of is open rates. Mm. Right? Your open rates go up if more people want your stuff.
Absolutely. Absolutely. If you go into your email marketing service and all of them have some sort of reporting system in them, and every time you send an email, it'll tell you what your open rate is versus your click-through rate versus your bounce rate versus how many people have unsubscribed. Those are the 4 top numbers that people see when they're looking at their email marketing. Right? Those are the 4 things. And those are the 4 things you really should at least understand and know about. So we're going to explain it a little bit here. And then I really want you guys, when you're even listening to this, head on and like pop open your email marketing, software and be looking at this in real time because it actually helps. So open rates are really just the biggest indicator of your ability to connect with your list. You know, when they say, oh, my list is dead, it's because their open rates can be really, really low. Now, also, if you're not niched in, if, you know, perhaps you've pivoted over time or you've changed over time.
Or your subject line
sucks. Or your subject line sucks. Open rates can be heavily affected. Open rates, and Allison, I think you'll agree with me, open rates tend to take a little bit of testing.
Oh, frequent, consistent, and always, yes.
Yeah. Oh, like all the time. Because open rates can be affected by the day of the week that you send your email or the time of day, right? So if you live in the UK, but your entire audience is in the US on the East Coast, okay, then you're looking at a time difference of, depending on the time of year, 5 or 6 hours, right? Mm-hmm. So if you are in the UK and you think sending an email at 7 a.m. UK time is the right time to get an email in front of your East Coast US customers, that's wrong.
Unless
you're trying to sell something to an audience of night owls, right? Like you're talking about, infomercials. I don't know.
I love it. Okay.
So yeah, it's the worldwide, I can't sleep, what do I watch on TV thing.
Oh yeah.
And so what I want you to think about is, when are you sending?
Mm-hmm.
What day are you sending? So I'll give you a couple hints. I never send my weekly emails on a Monday or a Friday. Okay, my crowd are entrepreneurs and people who are just building their businesses or are very established. And trust me, when they come back from a weekend, Mondays, their inboxes look like insanity, mayhem. Mm-hmm. And they don't want to get, you know, an email from me is going to get buried and it's not going to get seen. Also, people on Fridays are like, weekend is here, right?
They're
kind of checking out. So really know your audience. So that's when you need to know when to send your emails. And honestly, the only way you can do this, and you can't just take my word for it or Allison's, you need to test.
Yeah. Every single person's audience is going to be different.
Your list is alive. Your list actually is a living, breathing thing. It's filled of people. It's filled with people.
It's so green.
People with problems. Yep. So you need to react to your list as a human, like a human being, a living organism that has wants and needs, specific things it wants, specific times of day. Active campaign, if you look at the reports, it'll tell you. Like, I used to send my emails at 7 a.m. Eastern, but my emails never got opened. And Allison knows this because she looked at my data. Nobody opened my emails till 11 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
So why the heck am I sending them at 7? They're going to get buried.
And did you change it?
I did.
Did your open rate increase?
10:45, girl. 10:45 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And when I send at 10:45, my open rates went whoosh. Right?
So that was the first indicator.
Yep. That was the first indicator, open rates. Second indicator is click-through rates. Click-through is if you have a link in your email, like register for this webinar, come check out the Facebook group, book your call, whatever it is. The click-through rate is anybody who's clicked on that link.
Mm-hmm.
And the more targeted the email, the more likely people are to click the link and take action.
I love looking at click-through rates, even over open rates. So if I want to know how, and this is because of the copy, right? So that's my place.
It's your lens on it.
Yeah. World. This is my love. So basically, you could have 100% open rate. Actually, no, you probably couldn't. But if you had a 100% open rate and a 0% click-through rate, you're still dead in the water.
Yes.
So now at the same time, if you had a 1% open rate, but 100% click-through rate, still kind of dead in the water because not a lot of people are opening. So they really work together. You want to get more opens, but at the same time, you want to get more clicks. And there are a couple ways to do that. They all pretty much have to do with copy. Okay. Again, targeting the right message to the right person at the right time. If I'm talking to a bunch of people who would prefer to write their own copy, but I'm trying to pitch a strategy call or a discovery call to hire me to do it, I'm not going to get a lot of takers. I'm not going to get a lot of clicks. So targeting, you're also going to want to make sure that you use the right good copy principles. There we go, is the word I was looking for, but good copy principles for writing your email. I could talk about that for days. We're going to have episodes about that in the future, but really take the time to look at your click-through rates, because as they increase, that means that you're honing in on what your audience wants to see and hear. The other thing is the offer itself. They may not be interested in that content. They may not be interested in that freebie. They may not be interested in that video. And so if you notice, like, hey, I've done 3 or 4 things on this one topic in the last few weeks, and I'm just not getting the clicks on this, maybe don't do that topic for a while and bring something else in to see if it garners more interest. So there are a couple of things that you can really test with your click-through rates, copy, the targeting, and the offer. That's all I wanted to say about that.
No, I think it's amazing. I think that was fantastic. The next data point you're going to look at is the unsubscribes. So When you're really targeted and you're using segmentation, each email that you send, there are going to be some unsubscribes. It's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And the the way you actually do this is if you're really targeted on what you're doing and you're using the segmentation, you should have lower unsubscribes, because they're not going to go, why is Allison sending me this email about DIY when I don't give a crap about DIY? I want to learn how to like write better copy, period. Or hire a cop. Like, I don't want that.
Right. I don't want to do it myself. I want to hire someone. Why?
Exactly.
I don't care.
Right. Exactly. Right. So you want to reduce the unsubscribes, and the lower unsubscribe number that you have, that means that, hey, you know what? You're giving a clear message, mm-hmm. and people want it. The more unsubscribes you get, it means, whoa, okay, I maybe did something a little off here. And it pissed people off. Okay.
Right.
The other thing you need to look at with unsubscribes is if you hold a big event, like an online summit where you're growing your list in a big way, like you're doing a list injection, then you need to have expectations that afterwards the tire kickers are going to leave. Okay.
Yeah. And so, that's okay.
And that's okay. We want the tire kickers to go. We want to keep the core. Yeah. Bye, Felicia, out of here. We would just want the, like, we want the core people. But so you have to look at that. I've had people literally build a list. And I did this, guys, I really did this, where I did a summit called the Dream Business Summit. It was horrible. By the way, go buy the URL if you want it, because I gave it up a long time ago. and I did that summit. And then I was like, I'm going to market my VA services to these people. Well, they didn't want my VA services. They wanted to build their own business and they wanted different things. And I started getting massive amounts of unsubscribes because I was... And my summit was about one thing, but then my offer was about something completely different. Mm-hmm. People were like, I don't give a crap about this. Like, I'm outsies. And they left, right? And I got a lot of spam complaints and everything. And I was like, ooh, I'm screwing up big time here. I'm having a problem. So I really had to take a look at that. And so my goal now is when I send an email, I do look at the unsubscribes just to see how many there are and go, ooh, I only had 4 unsubscribes. Girl, I did good on that email.
Right.
I had 15 unsubscribes. Whoops.
Well, and you learn too about your list. Like, yep. So one thing I know about the list that Jenny has been building for her business over the past few years is that they really don't like a hard pitch. So, you know, some of the traditional, like, oh, you want to get this and much more and this and plus there's more, that kind of style does not work for Jenny's audience from a copy perspective. No. Whereas the story style, the really, again, really transparent and personal style that we all clearly like, that, like, her list responds really well to that. And so, again, from the copy perspective, the unsubscribes are going to show you, hey, I don't like it when you talk to me that way.
Exactly. And we've tested it. We've done, you know, and Allison, with transparency, Allison does write a lot of copy for me because she's just better at it. And her copy works really well. And so we've
Jenny
tried it out.
My landing pages.
Well, yeah, just works. And we've tried out the, you know, and you get this and more, and it didn't work well with my list, but it just doesn't go well. Like, it flops. Open rates are low. Click-throughs, you know, my people love a longer subject line that's more like, hey, Jenny here, I got something I want to share with you. Like, it's more chill, right? And the email has to start off more chill with a bit of a story, you know, maybe a little bit of a rant, maybe a little bit of a vulnerable share, maybe a little, hey, is this you? And then the transition, but they cannot stand, my list does not enjoy, and they'll unsubscribe if I hit them hard.
Right.
With anything. So these are really cool. So unsubscribes, absolutely. That's a definite data marker.
Yeah. And the last really big data point, and this is not something that you're going to find in your back end of your email marketing system, but is the conversion. Mm-hmm. Okay. So when those emails are targeted, when they're personalized, when they contain exactly what your people are looking for, then they see the decision to purchase, register, engage, whatever, as an easy one, like a no-brainer. So if you're sending this webinar registration email and your landing page is getting a 20% conversion, but then you segment your list and now all of a sudden your landing page is getting a 50% conversion, it's because you segmented, you changed the messaging, you did all of that, you sent it at the right time, you did this, you learned more about your list. You're going to see increased conversions. That's going to show up as free registrations for your webinars, your downloads, your whatevers, and it's going to show up in sales.
Completely. Well, that pretty much wraps up our episode today, all about list segmentation and how the heck you can do it. Hopefully you found this to be helpful and useful. Now, don't forget that we have a resource available to you to help you with list segmentation, and you can get it at systemtothrive.com/2. That's the numeral 2. Okay. So systemtothrive.com/2. You'll see any of the resources that we talked about here, Active Campaign, as well as the worksheet that we have for you, and also the notes from today's episode so that you can go through them and you can pull stuff out. Now, if you've enjoyed this episode, please consider subscribing and being a follower of ours. And don't forget, we also have a Facebook group, and we would love to see you in there. And it is, gosh, here's the awesome time when I try and remember.
The Thrive Collaborative.
Thank you.
You can search for it on Facebook, and we'll also link it on the notes page.
Absolutely. It'll be in there. So thank you so much for being on with us today. We appreciate you very much, and we'll see you on the next episode of System to Thrive. Thanks again for watching or listening to this podcast. We hope we've answered some of your big questions today. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast anywhere you're listening and leave us a review.
Also, make sure you've checked out the Thrive Collaborative Podcast Community, our Facebook group for listeners and entrepreneurs. Find us on Facebook or online at systemtothrive.com.